It's incredible how when you see the word of God, it becomes so real. And how well Peter knew about his speech. Remember, he denied the Lord and he started cursing when he denied the Lord three times. And he walked away, but he repented. And he came to the Lord. We need to be careful what we say. We're either cursing or we're blessing. We're either building up or we're tearing down.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We are continuing in our study of 1 Peter, and it's good to have you along. As Raul considers the persecution that early believers endured for Christ, you'll get a challenge to consider how you can respond when your faith comes under fire. The world is becoming increasingly hostile to the gospel, but you can stand firm for Jesus, fully surrendered and awaiting His return. In 1 Peter chapter 3, here's Raul Reese.
It's interesting that Peter is writing to us as he is going to be killed. The government of Rome has put a lot of strain on the Christians. And when you read history, you begin to see that there was a lot of pressure on many of those believers that had to make up their minds who they were going to serve. Many of them had to stand before Caesar Nero, and they had to proclaim either Jesus Christ is Lord or Caesar is Lord. Many of them, because I guess being scared, they were fearful. I could just picture in my mind all of these families that went before Rome. And as they stood before Nero, which he was called the beast, he's the one that took Paul the apostle and beheaded him. He's the one that had not only no mercy for people, but he was a maniac. He killed his family. And at the same time, he not only went crazy, but he really thought that he was God himself incarnate in the flesh. And so when you read history, you can really see how easy it is for presidents or governors or whatever position a person takes. It can be pastors and it can go to their heads and they can be very proudful. And at the same time, you think of all of the pressures that we're facing today as a nation, as a country, as a people. And at the same time, Jesus said to us, what? You are salt and light. So it's really important for me to understand the Word of God, to know what Genesis through Revelation teaches so that I don't confuse people, I don't become confused, I don't teach false doctrine, but I teach line upon line, precept upon precept so that we can understand the laws of the Old Testament and what the grace of God in the New Testament, what God says in His Word. So Peter was full of life. Now he comes to the second observation, which is amazing. Because what he does now in chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, he's going to be using the Old Testament scriptures to confirm everything that God was telling him to do in the New Testament. Now you got to remember, the book of 1 Peter was not written yet. So the Old Testament is being quoted. Why? Because they're reading from the Old Testament that already had been written to the Jew. So what he does is he goes to the book of Psalms. And what he does here is he goes back to the book of Psalms and he does Psalm 34 verses 12 through 16. And he uses it to defend what he just told us in the previous verses, so that we can understand the Word of God. So he begins now in verse 10. Look what he says, chapter 3. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Wow. This is from the Old Testament. Psalms, David speaking. You see, the news of impending persecution should not cause a believer to give up in life. Whatever circumstance you find yourself, no job, You can't buy groceries, whatever it is. That should really not get you in a place where you're going to lift your fist up and say, I hate you. Because God tries our hearts. He puts situations in our lives to be tested to see how we're going to react and respond. He's testing our faith to really see if we're phonies or we're real Christians. I mean, what would happen if tomorrow, all of a sudden, they said, you know what, there's no more cash. All your retirements, all that's gone. Banks are going to close. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you a chip. And we're going to put it on your forehead or your right hand. Then immediately we would know, wow, man, this is what Revelation 13 is about. The Antichrist is here. But we know as Christians studying theology, knowing the Word of God, that before that can happen, there has to be problems with the economy of the world for the Antichrist to come and give us a good society financially with a one world government, one world monetary system, one world military. And at the same time, what does it say to the church? You're not going to be here. The rapture will come before that. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you. When you read the other letters of Paul, he tells you that in Thessalonians. First and Second Thessalonians, he tells you that. And it's really important that we understand that God has a sin upon my life, upon your life. And what may appear to be bad days to the world can be what? Good days to the Christians. Why? Because we have hope. They don't have hope. They don't know who can save them. So it's really important for all of us to come to that place. To meet not only certain conditions as a child of God. For example, number one, we must decide to what? Love life? Yes. This is an act of what? Of the will. We're not puppets on a string. Nobody has to do anything they don't want to do. You have a will. But when you come to Jesus Christ and you become born again of the Holy Spirit, then it's no longer my will, but thy will. Didn't Jesus teach us that with his own life? When he came and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, forgive them. And what was he doing? He was praying, Father, your will, not my will, be done. And Satan was there right next to him saying, don't do it. And Jesus Christ submitted himself to what? To go to the cross. To be embarrassed, to be defamed, to be beaten, to wear a crown of thorns on his head, to put nails on his hands and his feet, and to carry that cross to Calvary, and then to be hung up in front of the whole world with two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. And then all of a sudden, as he's standing there looking up to heaven, his Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Think about that. And one on the right and one on the left, one's cursing and one is saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your paradise. He said, today you'll be with me. That's what happens to true Christians. That's what happens because God gives you an opportunity till the end of your life because you have a will. You're not a puppet on a string. God has given everybody an opportunity. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why? Because you don't know when it will happen, but it will happen. That's the grace and the love of God. So we need to have an attitude of faith that sees the best in every situation. My faith in Jesus Christ. He's in control of my life. He leads me. He guides me. He chastens me because I'm a real son and daughter of God. I've been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit when I repent and I give my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very important to know that. That I stand tall with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not in pride, but I want people to know that I know Christ intimately and personally, and he is my Savior, my Lord. And all of us have to come to that place in our lives to know God and to know the power of his goodness that he has for us, and the power of his grace. We can decide to endure life and make it a burden, or we can escape life as though we were running from a battle, or enjoy life because we know that God is in control of my life. I like that. He's in control. I'm not. I submit my life to Him. Lord, whatever you have to do, do it. What does that do? It describes what God means by good days. He blesses His people. He doesn't curse His people. And yet, there are not necessarily days that are free of problems. Look around you. The world's a mess. The United States is a mess. And yet, for the psalmist, he writes about what? The fears that people can have. For example, in Psalm 34:4, he says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You see, at night you can read the Psalms and get comfort. Then he says, troubles, Psalm 34:6. The poor man cries out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The word of God. And then, how about affliction? Many of you here in affliction tonight. This is what he says to you, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. Wow. Out of all of them. When I go to the hospitals and I see those people with cancer, and they're in their last stage, and I'm looking at them, and they know Christ, and you see the pain, and you see how they're suffering, and all of a sudden, when they take the last breath, and the spirit departs from the body, guess what? All their troubles are over, and now they're in perfection in the presence of God. No more afflictions. There won't be no more troubles, no more death, no more sorrow, no more fears, nothing in heaven, but men with the Lord Jesus Christ. In His presence.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Well, Pastor Raul is joining me in the studio to talk about the upcoming tour to Israel in April of 2026.
Yeah, it's going to be really neat. We're going to have, you know, a time of fellowship. Then we're going to be in the different sites together. And so that's what we want to take you. You don't have to belong to this church. You can belong to another church, no problem. We're not trying to steal you from the church. We're trying to educate you so when you go back to your church, you can educate them. So you need to go.
And you can get all of the information to join Pastor Raul and his son Ryan on our website, somebodylovesyou.com. Now back to more of our study of 1 Peter.
And how about brokenheartedness with a broken heart? In Psalm 34:18, he says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit, you have to be humble. We are nothing. He is everything in my life. We don't come with pride. We come with humility. That's why we can say a good day. For the believer who loves life is not one in which he pampers and sheltered, but one in which he experiences what? God's help, God's blessing, because of life's problems and trials, I can say, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I am His and He is mine. I can trust Him with all confidence. Why? Because in that day, we're going to magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Even today, we can magnify the Lord. Psalm 34:1 and 2 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. The psalmist again. And then what do? We experience what? Answers from God. Psalm 34, he says through 7, verse 4 through 7. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked at Him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of Jehovah God encamps all around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. Isn't that neat? The angel of Jehovah, Jesus Christ. He camps around my life. He takes care of me. And then thirdly, he tastes the goodness of God. Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Jesus Christ," or in him, God. Blessing. And fourthly, he senses the nearness of God in his heart. Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a," what? Again, "a contrite spirit." A contrite spirit. So the next time you think you're having a bad day and you hate life, read David in Psalm 34. He will blow you away, because that's what it's all about. Now he continues verse 13 by posing a rhetorical question. "And who is he who has harmed you if you become followers of what that which is good?" Think about that. Rhetorical question. Who's going to harm you if you do what's right and what's good? If God is for me, who can be against me? That's why James, if you read the book of James, chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, this is what he says. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, whether ever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it rests on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tame and has been tamed by mankind." Look, go to the circus. You'll see that. Go to aquariums. Look what he says. "But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God the Father, and with it we curse men," notice, "who have been made in the image of God." Wow. In the image of God. "Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things are not to be so if you're a Christian. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water at the same time? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No. Does no spring yield both salt water and fresh water? No." No, you see? James knew what he was talking about. He's the brother of Jesus. And Jude's his other brother. It's incredible how when you see the word of God, it becomes so real. And how well Peter knew about his speech. Remember, he denied the Lord and he started cursing when he denied the Lord three times. And he walked away, but he repented. And he came to the Lord. We need to be careful what we say. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. We're either cursing or we're blessing. We're either building up or we're tearing down. That's what the Bible teaches. We must hate evil. We must hate evil fully and completely. Look at verse 11 now. He says, "Let him turn away." This is again from the Psalm. "Let him turn away from the evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Now remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, verse 9. What did he say? "Oh, how happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Whoever makes peace with God is a true son of God. What? Making peace with your enemies. And then at the same time, think about what he's saying here. If I go out and seek trouble and find it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be in trouble. But I'm supposed to do what? I'm supposed to go out and seek for peace. But I think it's really important that you understand that if you see something that's going on, so a woman's getting raped or robbed, I mean, what do? You do what's good. You go help and call the police. And sometimes we put our lives on the line. And yet here, the actual psalmist knows what he's talking about. Why? Because this is not to mean that peace at any price. Because righteousness must always be the basis of peace. Righteousness. Being a righteous person. Not doing it to get attention, to get the credit, or get a pat on the back, or to think you're a big man. But to do it for the Lord. To do it for the Lord. James chapter 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct," notice, "that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth of God. This wisdom does not descend from above heaven, but it's earthly, sensual, and listen, demonic, from Satan. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Notice how beautiful the word of God is. It simply means that Christians exercise moderation as he relates to people and does not love his own ways, but he loves God's ways. The Lord is aware of his people and their conditions. Look what he says in verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." Wow, underline that. What does God do? He sees everything. But whose eyes are? The righteous. He sees what you're doing. And what else? His ears are open to their prayers. Wow. Can you believe that? And look what else he says. "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Wow. He makes a separation. His eyes are on the righteous, those who believe by faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord has his ears open to our prayers, but he listens to who? To those that are in need. To those that come humbly, broken before God. And then the Lord's face is against the evil. He brings his wrath upon them and he crushes them.
We hope today's message has inspired you to remain resolute in your faith when you face opposition or go through seasons of trial. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. If you'd like to hear today's lesson in its complete form, we'll send a copy to you for a gift of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. To help equip you for whatever challenges lie ahead, we'd like to tell you about this entire in-depth study of 1 Peter. It's available on both CD and thumb drive. Each of the 42 lessons in this series illuminates more of the strength and peace you can experience when you entrust your life to God. You'll see that He is faithful and always present in your suffering, and you can rest in His perfect plans for your future. To order Rawls' motivational 42-part 1 Peter series, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the flash drive for $42 or the CD set for $63. Our number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Thank you for your partnership. Your gifts enable us to keep spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Next time, as we continue in 1 Peter, we'll learn more about how to persevere in persecution when we encounter aggression against our faith in Christ. Here's Raul with a closing comment.
One day in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, every person that ever went to hell in this life is going to be brought up. And the Bible says, verses 11 through 15, the books are going to be open, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast alive where? Into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And who's there? Hell? death, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and every demon forever and ever and ever and ever. Not so for the church. Not so for the righteous people. Why? Because God is such a loving God, man. And I want to be righteous before him. Why? Because he's coming soon. He's coming soon for his church. Listen, we're our way out. It's just a matter of time. One morning, one afternoon, one evening, you're going to hear the trumpet blow. And the dead in Christ shall be coming with him that are there already. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. The Lord is coming.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.